I tell you to be different and creative and think this way. A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. OTB Nation, welcome into episode number 308 of the award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA-ranked, and of course viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box Podcast, the official lacrosse pod on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. It's KB, it's Deej, we got a loaded show from NLL to PLL, and it's DJ's most wonderful time of the year. College lacrosse is back. We're going to highlight some of the games coming up this weekend and whatever the hell else may pop up as we record this episode. But before we get started, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTB LaxPod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI. You can follow Deej on Twitter at SCS_NextGreat. You can follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and review. It really does go a long way for helping this show continue to grow. Helps more people find the podcast and Underground Sports Philadelphia as a network as a whole. And you know, we're just trying to climb those charts. We're fighting the good fight. There's not a lacrosse chart specific out there, so we're just in the big mighty world of all the sports out there. Keep helping us climb those charts. Subscribe, leave a 5-star rating and review. It really does help the show get boosted up. And I know there's been some haters in the past, and I think the best saying is, you know, you know you haven't made it until you got haters. And We've got a 4.7 rating on Apple right now and a 4.8 on Spotify. Let's boost those numbies up. Let's get it up. Be a friend, tell a friend. And of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. It's where you get full video episodes of this show every single week. You get full video episodes of every show on our network, live streams, original video content, the whole nine yards. It's all on our YouTube channel. So go subscribe, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. We are currently, as of this portion of the recording, at 731 subscribers. It's a brand new month. There's 29 days in this month. Let's get to 800, hopefully by the end of February. Let's make that happen. As we're on that road to 1K, obviously, which then we go plaque chasing once we hit 1K and we're on the road to 100K. So go subscribe, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia, and get your merch, PHI apparel, the best, simply the best, from hoodies to shirts. If you're a Philly sports fan, they got you covered, and of course, OTB Nation, we got you covered. We got that merch challenge going on for Champ Series. If I see you down at Champ Series rocking OTB merch, and you prove that you're subscribed to the pod, gonna hook you up. We gonna do it right by you, because that means you're supporting the PLL, that means you're supporting the pod, that means you're supporting us, and that's what we love. So go get your merch, phiapparel.co, code underground for 10% off your orders. What's poppin', Deej?
I'm doing all right. Had some sad news come through earlier within the last couple days. I haven't been able to beat Baltimore at all as a member of OTB, because I normally run what we call Ribfest here in town. It's a phenomenal event. We bring in artists. They do live music. We have local and national barbecue vendors come in. They make ribs, pulled pork, brisket, all this good stuff. It's an amazing time. People come and sell stuff. I mean, it's great. But I'm stuck working that event because I have to be there as a part of my job. and it is always the first weekend of August, which takes me out of Baltimore. This year, we happen to not be doing that Ribfest event, which means I'll be in Baltimore because I won't be hung up the first weekend of August. But we are doing a different event this year that I have to be at. This event is also on a Saturday, and it happens to be Saturday, February 17th. I will not be at most of Championship Series. I have been thinking of possibly flying down Sunday morning and then flying back out Tuesday morning so I can see semis and finals of Champ Series, still be there in person, still do some things, and maybe hand out some gummy blue sharks. So there's a possibility that I am still at the St. James in Virginia during that weekend. But if you happen to not see me, that is the reason why. That came through earlier. But I got an apparel store up for my lacrosse team, my high school team. So what I'm going to do is we had to get a few things fixed on it. That link is going to get extended. Once that link is extended, I'll put it out on my socials, send it over to OTB, and probably post it straight from the OTB social as well, and get that out to everybody. So if you want to support, get money back into our program, have some cool stuff to wear. We don't have a rope hat just yet, so I'm not as cool as Dover just yet. But when we get there, I'll let you know. But, yeah, there's – I mean, hoodies, T-shirts. There's going to be shorts, sweatpants, parkas, beanie hats, all that kind of stuff. It's colder up here, y'all. Sorry, it's colder. So we got to have all that kind of stuff. But it'll be on the store. You guys will be able to grab that stuff and support Kalamazoo United Lacrosse if you want to. And we're putting our schedule together, and it looks like we could possibly go 500 this year. So as lacrosse season rolls around for high school, I'm getting pumped. Just mad that I'll be missing Champ Series.
We'll figure it all out, but your boy will be there for some portion of Champ Series as well, if not all of it. And we're going to make some fun stuff happen down there, and I'll just say more to come. But we've got a loaded week to dive into here on the episode. We'll recap week 9 as much as we can here and our takeaways from the week that was in the NLL. Week 9 went a little some, as we always say. Shout out to Swizz Beats. Like this, Colorado takes down Vancouver 14-8. Halifax zaps Rochester 13-8. Buffalo holds off Tom Schreiber and the Toronto Rock 16-14. The New York Riptide, don't let the Riptide get hot. Don't let them get hot. They're getting hot. They take down Georgia 14-11. The San Diego Seals hold on in a nail biter to beat the Wings 12-11. And then Panther City goes absolute sicko mode and beats Las Vegas 21-12. Deej, your takeaways from the week that was in the NLL.
I mean, you started it with the perfect thing to start it with. Don't let the Riptide get hot. I was like watching that game and I was like, this is not happening in front of my eyes. This is not happening in front of my eyes. And surely enough, it was. The Riptide played absolutely fantastic, came out with a win. And I was kind of pleased. You know, that is one of my teams that I rock with, even though I didn't pick them this week. I thought the way that they played was great. And if they can continue to play that way over the next couple weeks, they're going to be in very good shape, you know, to be in the playoffs, possibly. Like, I don't want to say that because I obviously didn't have them in the playoffs, and there's other teams that I want to be in the playoffs so I can sound right. But they're coming out, and with the momentum they're going into and the stretch of season that they're about to embark on, we could see them moving into positive territory and snatching up one of the bottom tier, you know, playoff spots.
I'm glad that I have the website up right now because I just tried to open an article on the NLL website and the NLL website is down.
It's under
under maintenance. Check back
under
soon.
Maintenance for whatever
perfect
reason.
Timing.
The Buffalo game was weird to me. They were going back and forth, and Toronto had it for a second, and then it was just gone. Buffalo turned into Buffalo. They did kind of that offensive thing that we've all been waiting for them to do all year, where they just pop off and take over. They hadn't done it, but then they turn around and do it against Toronto, one of the best teams in the league. Is Buffalo back? You know, I'm not normally one of those people that says people and teams are back, but is Buffalo back? I mean, we saw them struggle against Georgia, struggle against Albany and some of these other teams, but then you come out and play Toronto, a team that you've battled with over and over and is the only undefeated team left in the league, and you literally pry one out of their hands. That's a Buffalo move, and it makes me wonder if they're back. I don't know if you got a chance to watch the worst game of the week.
Which one would that
be? But I was up late, and I watched it. Panther City and Las Vegas.
I did not, because I was on my way back from the Wells Fargo Center for
That's right. Me and you were texting about
quite
that.
Quite the game.
Right.
Yeah. Callum Crawford went sickle mode, and Callum Crawford.
You got lucky that you didn't get to watch that game, because it was like not even fun to watch. It was so lopsided. And I don't even know what to say about it. Like, it's not like Panther City isn't that good, but it's not like Vegas is that bad. It was just, I don't even want to say an anomaly. It was just not easy to watch and not really a fun game to be into. There wasn't even a lot of discourse about it. Everybody just pretty much was like, where is Vegas? That was kind of all we saw all night in terms of the game was, oh, Vegas didn't show up. Does Vegas want to play? Is anybody out there? Like, that's kind of just all I saw about it.
So that's like, the thing with Vegas, though. It's like they don't have, and this is no slight to them, like it's their second year in the league, but they don't have a captain in the sense of a team like Toronto with Tom Schreiber or Chalen Rogers or like the Wings with Blaze Reardon. They don't have full send veteran leadership yet because they are such a young team. And like, sure, you have Rob Hellier there, but when Rob Hellier,
by the way,
what was that?
He had six assists in that 21-12 loss that
right.
didn't even seem like were real.
And Rob Hellier is a phenomenal, like, number two option. Like, I was talking to somebody and they said Rob Hellier is like a fantastic Robin, but he needs a Batman to allow him to be at his best. And there's no Batman in Las Vegas right now. Like, could Jack Hanna turn into that? Sure. But he's not there yet. Could Charlie Bertrand be that? Sure. But he's not there yet in the box game. Like,
I mean, Birdie just scored his first goal of the year this week.
Right. So there's a lot of growing pains going on in Vegas. And I don't think it's going to get easier. They just released Eric Turner this week, and a lot of people online were not happy about that and very confused by that, because he felt like a glue guy and was keeping the team together. Very weird game, but while that game was going on, I was in Philly taking in San Diego, Philadelphia, and Deej, even though the Wings ended up losing, it felt like a playoff game. That atmosphere felt like a playoff game. And I couldn't be more happy about that, in a sense of walking around the entire arena, being up in the press box and listening to just the way that the crowd was reacting to the Wings scoring goals, to referee calls, to lack of referee calls. That was the loudest I can remember the Wells Fargo Center being in a long time. And that's a good sign, because it just means that people care. People want this team to succeed. I think the official attendance was a little over 8,500 on Saturday night. And if the Wings don't get off to that slow start, I think they had the game-long momentum to come away with a victory. It came down to the final possession, just didn't get the shot in. I like the way that they adjusted at halftime, and that's something the past couple of years, myself and other members of the credentialed media for the Wings have been concerned about, is just the lack of adjustments that would get made, or when the adjustments would get made, and it was like too little too late. I like that they adjusted at halftime. I thought Nick Rowlett was fucking fantastic for his first game in the NLL. Won 8 faceoffs against TB9, and it wasn't like Trevor was like full on like dominating him. it was just, it was, you could tell it was Nick's first game. But after seeing Nick's performance at the stripe and seeing how they were mixing in Isaiah Davis Allen as well, who has been taking faceoffs here and there for the Wings throughout the season before Nick arrived, there's no need for anybody but Nick Rowlett to be taking faceoffs for this team moving forward. And he's got another tough test this weekend. He's got to go up against Jake Withers, who's having an MVP type of season. So he's got another tall task ahead of him. But seeing what Nick Rowlett did, was I shocked? No. But was I, like, thrilled by how he just took the bull by the horns? No pun intended there with Trevor playing for Atlas. But I was thoroughly impressed. Blaze looked healthier, which was good. Ben McIntosh came to life in this game, had a hat trick. And you know it's a weird thing to say this when Mitch Jones has 4 assists in a game, and that's a down night for him in a Wings uniform.
Yeah, that game was interesting to me. I got to watch parts of it. I didn't get to see the whole thing. I don't know what it is with the Wings right now. They have all the pieces, and there are times where they look very good and like best team in the league good. But then there's other times where they look completely lost out there. And I don't know if it's like an energy thing, a locker room thing, trying to mesh things with injuries, not getting the ball as much because Trevor isn't there. Like, I don't know what the exact issue is, but I mean, they might be one big kumbaya away from actually figuring this thing out and being a very solid team and championship contender. That's kind of just what I saw, especially from this past week. Like, that game wasn't one that they should have lost. It was in their hands. Mm-hmm. And they kind of just threw it away on their own from some mental mistakes. And it's like, oh, if this team sat down for just a little while and really bonded with each other and talked about what things they think they're missing or what things they think they're doing well, and coaches coming in and saying this or saying that or doing this, that's all they need from really clicking and being a very dangerous NLL team. But they also seem like they're so far away from being that very dangerous NLL team at the same time. I thought Nick's debut was great. The grit he played with, how much hustle he had, going in and winning faceoffs against arguably the best one in the league, providing those opportunities. Even at the end of that game, he won that last faceoff and ground ball, and it was a tough one too. And you know, he came up with it, got the timeout, and was able to set up and give the Wings a chance to tie the game before the game was over. That's not a play that every rookie in his debut is going to make, but Nick did, and he did a phenomenal job at it. And there were many – I mean, his brother and a lot of other people were excited to see him, and everybody felt like he did his part in his debut and feels like he has so much space and time to grow in the league. And it's going to become one of those NLL faceoff guys that we've been talking about all year on this podcast and how important they've been. To lose Trevor and then replace him with Nick, it's obviously a downgrade. But for how long is that going to be a downgrade? And with the way that Nick's coming in, the work ethic he has, I don't know if it's going to be that, you know, that's the case for an extended period of time.
And it's one of those things, too, that, like, the annoying part for me, and I think for a lot of fans that understand the value of having a face-off guy like you had with Trevor, you knew Trevor wasn't going to be playing for you. You made that trade with San Diego and New York in August. You know, that trade broke when I was on the sidelines at Homewood Field. You had multiple months to figure out the face-off position and kind of just chose to do nothing with it until now. I think that's the frustrating part when it boils down to right now the Wings are 2-4. You could make the argument that if they have Nick Rowlett in the mix against the Riptide in that game that they lost to New York earlier this season, if they have Nick Rowlett available against Toronto, if they have Nick Rowlett available from the start of the season, you could potentially say he's worth 2 wins in the games that they've played and could have flipped the script for this Wings team, getting this powerful offense, this high octane offense, more possessions to where you're beating a team like the Riptide that you're supposed to beat, where you're beating a team, you know, in an upset like Toronto. And if Nick Rowlett has more reps under his belt by the time the San Diego game rolls around, who's to say that a one-goal game against San Diego doesn't flip in your favor rather than losing that game? I think that's the one frustration I have, is that, like, I wish they would have capitalized on signing Nick Rowlett earlier. And I obviously don't know all the circumstances behind, you know, Nick's availability and all of that, but it is one of those things that, like, damn, I wish we would have approached the faceoff position a little bit sooner, because season could be looking a little different right now. Right now, the Wings would miss the playoffs if the playoffs started today. Right now, if the draft happened today, the Wings would be picking third in the draft, where going into last week, you're in the playoffs as the 8 seed. That's the thing with unified standings, is every game matters, and you've got to take advantage of those opponents every single week, and it's not like it gets any easier. You've got Halifax coming to town this week on Friday on a short week for you, and then after that, it doesn't get easier again, because I'm pretty sure the Wings' next game after that bye week is on the road at Las Vegas, so you have to travel again. You have to get everybody on the road together. And not that Vegas is, you know, the best team in the league. You still have to go on the road to an opponent and play them in a different time zone. It's tough. It's tough to kind of adjust, and you have to be able to take advantage of that. And then February 24th, your next game is against Calgary, so you're going to be going up against, you know, Zach Currier for the most part, I would say. It does not get easier for this team across the board with their opponents, and they have to be able to take advantage of these games, and it starts, you know, at the stripe. And luckily it seems like they've got their guy now, so hopefully some things start to click for them this week against Halifax. But you got a tall task with Jake Withers on deck, and I think they know that after talking to some of the guys after the game, and they know the task at hand that they have to kind of lock in, and they've got to be better. They've got to start faster. So if they start a little bit faster and a little more consistent, they probably win that game. Because as the game progressed, it felt like the momentum completely swung in the favor of the Wings.
Yeah, and I mean, they were able to, I wouldn't say crawl back in, but they were able to find that pace of theirs where they were working offensively, using as much of the shot clock they wanted to use and finding the shot they wanted to take, while also being able to speed up San Diego and kind of forcing them to work a little faster offensively than they wanted to, while also being physical with that as well. That's the key to making San Diego uncomfortable, which is weird. It's hard to say that you can make a team like San Diego uncomfortable, but you got to have a combination of speed and aggressiveness, because mm-hmm. you have to know who you need to be aggressive with and who you have to be like a speed player with. Guys you want to speed up, Stotts, and Trey LeClaire, Dane Doby, Cam Holding, guys who are going to try and use a little more of their body to find space and get their shot off. Guys like, why did I just blank? Curtis Dixon, Wes Berg, Casey Jackson. These are guys that are going to be a little faster.
Casey's one in Vegas.
Yes, sorry, he just left.
You're thinking Trey.
Thank you.
Who's the reason that San Diego won?
Oh, by Trey far,
LeClaire had the game of the season.
Phenomenal game. But those quicker guys on San Diego, you have to be super aggressive with them. Games where Wes Berg is like non-existent, which is very few and far between, by the way, are games where teams are super aggressive against him. What's one team Wes Berg doesn't really do well against in the NHL? Colorado. When you watch Colorado play,
it's also weird.
It's very weird. But when you watch, right. When you watch Colorado play San Diego, though, they're uberly aggressive with Wes Berg. The second he steps on the floor, he's got a guy in his face. They're pushing him. They're chopping at his stick every chance he get, getting at his leg. Whatever they can do to bother him and be aggressive with him, they do. I thought the Wings did an amazing job of being aggressive with who they needed to be aggressive with while also speeding up their offense to create the flow of the game that the Wings wanted to play under, which got them back into the game and in that position to possibly tie at the end. But if you start the game like that and you play like that from the beginning, you probably win by 2, 3, 4 goals. But instead, it took you a little bit of time to find that, which allowed San Diego to build up that lead and kind of have that cushion to fall back on.
It is one of those things, too, and I never want to say that the outcome of the game was determined by the refs, because I don't think it was, but there was a lot of questionable calls in this game. And when I bring up the noise level in the Wells Fargo Center, a lot of it was around some of the calls that were made against the Wings that if you're making those calls, you have to call it both ways. And it was not called both ways in a lot of instances. And, you know, I was talking to a couple of people and they said that the refs called that game like it was like Tykes on turf. Like, we're grown men playing lacrosse. Call it like grown men playing lacrosse. And the fact that with 9 minutes left in the game, Chad Tutton gets a 5-minute major penalty and then tacked on another 2-minute penalty against him is just like, what are we doing? Like, let these guys play. Like, I get if you want to call the 2-minute penalty, fine. But when you're calling a 5-minute major for something that is so, like, ticky-tack, it blew my mind that they even made that call. A lot of people were responding to me saying it was the softest 5-minute penalty they've seen in a long time. Got to be better. Refs got to be better. We talk about it all the time on this show, on every show we have that involves referees. Refs got to be better. And I didn't think it was any coincidence that the one referee that was on this crew on Saturday night was also Deej, the referee that did not call anything against Mitch Jones last year against Georgia when he was almost like beheaded. When just absolutely clotheslined with a stick and his neck cocked back and nothing was called. Same ref was out there. It's the guy with the tattoos. So, you know, if he's out there, then evil's afoot. Every villain is lemons. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of work to be done with this Wings team and some fun stuff to put a bow on week 9. I was at the game, obviously, and was told that this coming Friday, as you guys are listening to this, Commissioner Brett Frued will be in Philadelphia on Friday. And our podcast was specifically name-dropped to the league, along with myself, and some things were going to happen on Friday, but some things changed, so once we get full-blown confirmation, you'll know, but we're giving you the early access here. At some point, either next week, well, for sure next week we'll be doing this, but either next week's episode or the following week, NLL Commissioner Brett Frued will be making his long-awaited appearance debut on the Outside the Box podcast.
I can't wait. I got a chance to talk to him when he first got announced. I was the OTB liaison. Sorry, y'all. I just had a like brain fart thing.
The representative from Kalamazoo has the floor.
Yeah, pretty much. I was the OTB liaison as our guy KB was doing his thing at the good old Staples. They don't normally get airtime on here. So. Yeah. Yeah, but he was doing that, and I got a chance to get in and ask him a few questions and talk to him as he addressed kind of the media and what kind of things he wanted to do with the NLL moving forward. And he's already done a lot of those things that he said he wanted to do. And Unboxed was one of those initiatives. So, like, I'm kind of excited to dive deeper into his brain about Unboxed and obviously expansion, where he wants the league to go in the future. And kind of just how he feels about lacrosse and where it's headed right now. We got a chance to learn a lot about his background with lacrosse and playing at Brown and being a team captain and like those kind of things. Like, he's been in positions not only in the game of lacrosse, but outside of the game of lacrosse to help not only the NLL, but the PLL and every other form of lacrosse get to where we want it to be. So I think everybody's got to be a little patient. Take the bumps and bruises, and you know the good and the bad that comes with the changing of leadership. And I think everything's going to be just fine under Brett Freed. I really like some of the things he's done, and then obviously there's always something to complain about. So I try not to focus on that.
And I don't think there's been anything bad about his tenure so far as commissioner of the NLL. I think everything he's done, he's kind of picked up where Nick Sakevich left off. And sure, has there been a slowdown in expansion? Yes. I think that's fine. I think at the rate the league was going, you were going to expand almost too quickly. And that's when disaster strikes. And you don't want to expand into markets that are almost going to be set up to fail because you're expanding so quickly. And I think what Brett Freed is doing a really great job of right now is looking at the markets that already exist. And that's why we have unified standings. And I think that is part of getting everybody as close to like a median line as possible. You look at, you know, the big dogs in the league from Buffalo, Toronto, Colorado. You look at even Philadelphia to a degree in terms of attendance and in terms of fandom and fan base, and you see what's working there. You see the success of ticket sales. You see the success of free agency and players wanting to go and play in those markets or staying in those markets. And then you look at the newer teams that are in the league or teams that relocated, like Albany, like Panther City, like Las Vegas, even to a degree San Diego, who is on the track of, we're bringing in the free agents, now let's get the butts in the seats. It's fit, and even New York to a degree. You know, New York's a huge market, but what isn't translating in terms of overall ticket sales? What isn't translating in getting people to come out to games and knowing that the Riptide exists, knowing that Vegas is in, you know, Sin City, come out to a sporting event that's affordable? You know, it's getting those lower end, newer expansion teams caught up to the big dogs as close as possible. I'm not saying that overnight Panther City or Las Vegas is going to turn into a Bandit Land or the Loud House, but you want to have Panther City's attendance looking a lot more full than it is. And I trust the leadership in Panther City because I know a lot of them personally, especially their COO, Amber Cox, to get the job done. There's a reason that the New England Black Wolves were so successful while they were there, and she was a huge part of it. You're going to see it happen. It's just a matter of the consistency. And Deej, you and I both know this from every single sport that we follow. What is the cure-all to having butts in seats, to having fans come out and support you? Winning.
I mean, you can do everything else you want to do. You can have all the nice food in there, good drink deals, cheap tickets, specialty nights, meet the players, autographs. If you're not winning, the people don't care. That's just facts. You have your hardcore diehard fans and sport lover, like that specific sport lovers that are going to go anyway because they're interested regardless of the outcome. But if you want the average fan to be there or for somebody to just go, hey, it's a Friday night, Saturday night, I need something to do. Oh, these tickets aren't bad. Got to be winning. Because I'll tell you, you know who ain't filling seats? The Detroit Pistons. Detroit Pistons ain't filling no seats, regardless of who's coming in town, regardless of if tickets are $9 a piece, $12 a piece. It's because they ain't winning no games.
Look at the They're process. They're doing bobblehead
nights, giving away jerseys, all kinds of stuff. But when you don't win games, people don't care.
Look at the process Sixers. I mean, we're in the slow era of recovering from it, but a lot of people turned on the Philadelphia Flyers here for a long time, you know, because they weren't winning. It was inconsistent success. It was not sustainable success. So it's like, what's the point of me buying in if I know the end result is going to be what it is every single year? You look at teams like Oklahoma City up until this year. It was like, do I really want to, you know, sit through a full-on rebuild where my owner's only trading for draft picks and now they're reaping the benefits of that? So it's a matter of getting the culture set. And I think a lot of those teams we mentioned, from Vegas to New York to Panther City, San Diego obviously is a step ahead of them all, because that's a team that's made the playoffs. They've brought in free agents. And now it's just a matter of translating professional sport to a city like San Diego. Albany even. And we look at Albany. Winning is doing a lot for them right now. People are wearing Albany jerseys walking around the city of Albany, from what Adam Levy has tweeted out when he's gone to Albany Firewolves games. You see people in the stands there because they're winning. Vancouver is another example. You know, they're trying to set that culture so that they can start winning and bring lacrosse back to Vancouver. Like, winning is a cure-all, and I'm curious to pick Brett Frood's brain about kind of that initiative, where they are with 15 teams in the league and kind of building up those lower echelon teams in terms of, like, new relevance to the league, newer markets, not traditional lacrosse markets for a team like a Panther City, a team like Las Vegas, and what it's going to take for just the overall, like, boost for those types of teams to bring success and be teams that get put on the map. So I'm excited that Brett Frood's going to be hopping on with us, and it is a full circle moment for this show, where episode one started off with Commissioner Nick Sakevich at the league office, and now we've got his successor coming on the show in the next week or so. So looking forward to having Commissioner Brett Frood on. And stay tuned for that one. We told you 2024 was going to be bringing some big-time juice, and that's where we are. So let's move on, Deej, to Week 10 in the NLL. We've got 8 games on the docket, and it looks something like this. Friday night gets kicked off at 7 p.m. Eastern time in Philadelphia as the Halifax Thunderbirds and Philadelphia Wings kick off volume 2 of their rivalry, as Philadelphia won in Saskatchewan in overtime the first time these two teams met. Then 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, Vancouver heads down to Georgia to take on Lyle Thompson and the Swarm. Then at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Friday, your New York Riptide take on your Calgary Roughnecks. And then we move to Saturday, where Las Vegas heads to Albany to take on the Firewolves, the Desert Dogs, the Firewolves. The adjective canine bowl continues. And then we've got Rochester at Buffalo at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday. Amazing color scheme matchup at 8 p.m. Eastern time as Panther City takes on Saskatchewan, Patrick Dodd's first game against his former team. And then at 9 p.m. Eastern time, Toronto heads to Calgary to take on your Roughnecks. You've got a 2-2 this weekend. And then Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, Sunday night lacrosse in San Diego as Colorado heads to California to take on the Seals. What are you looking forward to the most, Deej, other than the stress that you'll be under with the Calgary Roughnecks playing twice? And it starts with both of your squads facing off.
Just trying not to die. Like, literally, what am I most looking forward to? That Calgary wins a game. That's what I'm hoping for. Just one. Because if we go 0-2 this week, I don't know how I'm going to feel. But honestly, I think I'm just really excited for another full weekend. Like, what was it? Was it last? Was last week we only had 4? No, it was the week before that, right?
Yeah.
Like, the short weeks kill me. Like, is it easier for me to actually sit down and watch every game and pay attention and be locked in when there's only 4 games? Yeah, but, like, it's boring when there's only 4 games. I want to miss some games. I want to have to get on Twitter and see what highlight I missed in a game because I was watching another one. Like, I want to see all the discourse from everybody talking about their favorite team, rather, because there aren't a ton of guys like you and me who are kind of watching every team diligently and talking about every team and pointing out the best things. It's more of teams. A lot of people watch their team And when they're playing someone else, they comment on those two teams. So it's nice to see how differently people tweet and have, you know, and analyze games based on who they're playing or how their favorite team is playing that week. And I love to see that on the TL. But when there's only four games playing, I only got two people tweeting at me on the TL, and it's getting pretty boring. So, like, I'm excited that it's really another full week of games, and I get to see my favorite team twice. Like, we only get it once a week or once a year now that your team's going to play twice in 1 week. And this is my week for it, so I'm going to be happy and enjoy it. It just sucks that we're playing a hot, you know, Riptide team, and then turn around and play Toronto, who's arguably the best team in the league. I don't know how to feel.
Yeah, I'm stoked. Every team is playing this week, and Calgary's playing twice. I'm looking forward to this Wings Halifax Volume 2. It's going to be a doozy of a game, and I love how over the years, like, this has kind of turned into a new era rivalry. Obviously, they used to be the Rochester Nighthawks, and there's a lot of connections there with Paul Day. But I love how Halifax and Philly has kind of turned into this inter-country, you know, cross-country rivalry between Nova Scotia and the U.S., and I think it's a good rivalry. I think there's a lot of similarities between these teams, and I'm looking forward to that matchup and this time it being in Philly. I think New York-Calgary is going to be very fun, and this is the first time I think that these two teams have played since February 8th, 2020, is what I saw on the timeline, which is crazy to think about, that it's been 4 years almost to the day that these two teams have not played each other. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And I think the other portion of that was nobody on that Riptide team was playing for the Riptide at the time. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong there. It might be like one or two guys, but relatively a lot of new faces on that Riptide team now taking on Calgary. Rochester Buffalo, we get the Pegula Bowl Volume 2 again, and that's going to be a ton of fun. I think Panther City and Saskatchewan, even though both teams, you know, Panther City's 3-3, and a lot of people, I think, are sleeping on them and underestimating them for how good they actually are. I'm intrigued to see how Panther City follows up a 21-goal performance on the road and, you know, staying consistent while also seeing if Saskatchewan digs themselves out of this hole now that Keenan's on the bench for them as they try to figure out and salvage their season as they are sitting right now at 1-4. This game is massive for them, and that game is going to be sneaky intriguing, so I'm excited for that one. And Colorado-San Diego is always a doozy, and now, you know, it's in San Diego, and does Dylan Ward get chased again? It's not in Denver this time. So there's a lot of fun storylines coming up this weekend. And, you know, if I had to put a top three of games I'm locked in for, obviously I will be at Philadelphia Halifax. So that's obviously top priority for your boy. New York Calgary, I'm going to be binoculars from the trees, peeking in on that one. And then Rochester Buffalo is my number three. And then I think my honorable mention is Panther City Saskatchewan for all the reasons I laid out.
And you talked about Wardo getting chased. I forgot to bring this up earlier, especially when I was talking about the worst game of the night. Can someone please tell me why Landon Kells was not taken out of that game at any point? Not because he's not good, not because the backup's better, not because you're going to try and win the game, but for Landon Kells, I hate that I only have one goalie on my high school team, and my dream is to find two backup goalies this year so that I have one to start and one to be an actual backup, because it sucks watching your goalie get ripped on and they can't do anything about it. Like, that my first year coaching was, I had a first year goalie. So, like, I'm trying to teach him the ins and outs of the position and the basics. So, of course, he's not going to save an 80 mile per hour shot from 15 out. He has no clue what's going on yet. So it was tough for me to be in that position and watch him give up 20, 22 goals a game because his defense is trying and forcing, you know, bad shots, air quotes, you know, from 15 out, but he can't save it. And, right. and it seemed like Landon Kells was in the same position where they were trying, they were helping, forcing some shots that he should have been able to save, and he just couldn't. And coach just left him in to be beat up, and that kills your confidence as a goalie. How is he supposed to come back out this week and be on his A game when he just got destroyed and they didn't pull him out, didn't try and fix anything during, you know, anything defensively to create different shots and give him different looks. They kind of just left him out to hang and dry. So how do you go back to your team and say, all right, let's do this again when nobody really helped you and you got pumped for 21?
And now you're taking on the team that's number one in the league in Albany at 6-1, who is in the top three in scoring this year, has an elite faceoff guy to get that team possessions. And, you know, it's not like they have a bad backup or, you know, 1B to their 1A. Joel Watson is a stud.
Like, Joel could have came in that game and done just fine. And, like, maybe you take, you know, Kells out toward the beginning of the second quarter and you put him back in at halftime, after halftime, to see how things are going. Because you still don't like, you know, how things look with Watson. That's a possibility. We've seen that happen multiple times in NLL games. Seen it happen in PLL games. Seen it happen in college, high school. It's a part of lacrosse. But if you just leave your goalie out there, you're basically killing your team and saying – and I can't imagine that, like, the field players wanted to try any harder either. Like, you're kind of just sending a message to the whole team, like, it doesn't matter kind of what we're doing right now. It doesn't work. So we're just going to get through this. Like, you got to still coach and make changes.
Yeah.
And corrections. And I may be on the outside of this looking in, and they may have tried to make some changes and they just didn't work, which is fine too. That's different. They just didn't show up. But from our position and everyone else's position, it looks like they just left Kells to dry.
And I was on the opposite end of that spectrum while I was taking in the Wings game. Like, there's people in the press box, and like, I get along with pretty much everyone that's on press row at Wings games, but I heard way too many people, and I had to say something. They were like, can we pull Higgins from this game? And I'm like, bro, the only reason the Wings are in this game is because of Zach Higgins. Zach Higgins kept the Wings in that game and kept it to where, while there was 3 seconds left on the clock, you had one final shot to get off and a chance to send it to overtime. If the Wings don't have Zach Higgins in that game and allow him to kind of battle through, you know, the shots he was seeing and that San Diego was able to bury, the Wings are nowhere close to making that a one-goal game, let alone having an opportunity to potentially win it. And, you know, I think goalies get too much of the shit end of the stick when it comes to teams struggling because they're the last line of defense. They're the last thing that an opposing team sees before they score or don't score. There's guys playing in front of you, and Deej knows this all too well as somebody who plays defense. Their job is to help protect the goalie, and you got to have the stalwart defense in front of you so that it doesn't fall on the shoulders of your goalie. That is a whole unit right there. That back end unit needs to work together. There's a lot of communication that goes into that. So when I see people, you know, trying to just immediately blame a goalie, look at the overall context of what's going on. And Zach Higgins had nothing to do with what was going on in that Wings game. And most of that stuff for Landon Kells probably was not all his fault either. You know, defensive communication has to be there. And also, when you have Callum Crawford on one, it's tough to stop Callum Crawford when he's on one. He's like going Super Saiyan mode at his age. It's crazy. Ryan Benesch did the same thing for Halifax. And it's just one of those nights. But you can't just blame one guy in a team sport unless the overall evidence is there for it. So I just had to speak my mind on that too. Shout out to Higgy. He's a fucking dog.
I agree. Speaking of all that good stuff, I just spent entirely too much money on my team site. Spent $470.
Sheesh.
You don't have to spend that much, but we did get the corrections made to our site. So I have tweeted that out from my personal page. I also quote and retweeted it out from the LTB page. So be on the lookout for that. Get some stuff. Support us if you like. But all of it's going to be gray, black, and white. We're rocking the – I mean, what'd y'all expect? Roughnecks are my favorite team. We're rocking that grayscale a color combo, and there's some cool stuff on there. So I know it's cold out where some of you people are too. So we got some parkas, winter coats, and jackets and stuff that are pretty heavy on there. So
I'm just gonna crop a I'm gonna crop a quarter crop zip.
Please. Please. That was one of the corrections we had to get made. We had to get a men's quarter zip on there because they only put a ladies crop top one.
Hashtag guts out 2024.
Yes. Have you seen like where guys come out in practice with their practice penny like tucked under the shoulder pads? Yeah, that's like what it made me think of first. It's like I should have got pennies that just cut off right here. We just practice and cut off.
Looking like fucking Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes, exactly like.
Let's,
and it looks better when you get a Jack Rowlett head imprint on your stomach. Everybody can see it because you got a crop top rock.
Grit guy. let's head on over to the pick pond for a loaded week in the NLL. Week 10, beer money picks of the week here at the pick pond. Let's feed some ducks. It is brought to you by our pals over at Kenwood Beer, the official beer partner of Underground Sports Philadelphia. It's a refreshing light beer, just 4.1% ABV, only 120 calories, just 8 grams of carbs. You can go to kenwoodbeer.com and use the Kenny Tracker to see who's got Kenwood Beer on tap in the Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Maryland, and New Jersey areas. Also, check out their storefront. They've got some awesome swag from t-shirts, sweatshirts, pint glasses. They've got awesome hat in the store right now. They have a beach towel because before you know it, it's going to be summertime. And they've got the awesome Kenwood stickers as well. Go to kenwoodbeer.com, and you can also go to Kenny's at your local liquor store in those markets that I mentioned. But you got to be 21 or older to do so. And, of course, please drink responsibly. Deej, we start in the city of brotherly love where the Philadelphia Wings host the Halifax Thunderbirds in a rematch of an earlier season showdown. I like the way that the Wings rebounded. I like the way that they were playing throughout, you know, mid-second quarter to the end of that game. And Paul Day said it best in his post-game press conference. We just got to play. We got to be able to play. The bye weeks, he said, are just killing momentum. So the fact that I think they get to finally play back-to-back weeks is going to help them just stay in a game mindset. And I like the Wings to showcase in front of the commissioner on Friday night to get a big-time dub and steal the season series overall from Halifax.
Where is this game taking place?
The city of brotherly love, because I will be there.
Yeah, I should have known that. Ain't no way you was driving all the way to Nova Scotia.
Ain't no way.
I
would need a plane, a train, and an automobile for that bad boy.
At least.
Shit.
Let. This first game of the week always makes me upset. Because it's normally Halifax, so it's normally at 6 p.m., which is just grr. And as much as I would love to take the Wings, I got a little more trust in Halifax right now. Their offense. We talked about this with the Wings and how they have that missing piece. I don't know if Halifax is the team you get that missing piece figured out against. They're kind of that team where you can't have any mistakes. Because they capitalize off mistakes. That's what they do well. They capitalize off mistakes. They may make some mistakes themselves. They may have some shots go right over the pipe. They may give you a better shot than what they were trying to give up. But if you make too many mistakes, Halifax will make you pay for it every single time. And something the Wings aren't doing right now is playing mistake-free or few mistakes. Lacrosse. They're playing a lot of mistake lacrosse right now. So I got to assume that will continue. And I'm going to take the T-Birds.
We move to Georgia as the Swarm host Vancouver. Georgia let us down last week. Are they going to pick us back up this week, Deej? Are we both riding the same way I think we're riding?
For what? Wait, what was it? Sorry.
Vancouver and Georgia.
I was like listening, but like, nah, like don't even ask me. Come on. I've only done something I shouldn't have done a couple of times this year, and that's went against my League Pass team of the year. They've been phenomenal. Vancouver has not. This one's plain and simple. Give me LT4 in the Swarm.
We move to the DJ Bowl as the New York Riptide head to Calgary to take on the Roughnecks. Deej, the floor is yours. These are your squads.
I really don't get too many words. I'm absolutely terrified. I'm terrified because the Riptide are playing unreal lacrosse right now. They are very good at what they're doing. They're able to score with the best of them. And when it comes down to the clutch time, they're making stops and other teams are not stopping them. I've liked everything I've seen from the Riptide, but they're traveling. And the Saddle Dome is a tough place to play in with that teal turf.
Can the Riptide wear their teal uniforms on the teal turf? Just get lost.
Ray, they do not.
Could you imagine how painful that would be to watch?
Could you imagine trying to call that? That's where my brain went first.
That's where mine went too. Come on now. We both got broadcast brains.
Man, bro, like, no. The Saddle Dome's tough to play in. And I got to think, as much as I don't want to say this, my Roughnecks are going to lose to Toronto. And we have to go 1-1 in this week. So I got to take Roughnecks first. But I would not be in the slightest bit surprised if the Riptide come out with a win in this one.
When you're hot, you're hot. And the block is hot. I'm going with the New York Riptide. Jeff Teets on a heater. Kyle Matisse is playing great ball for them.
You said that wrong. It's Teeter on a heater.
I do what I want.
okay, Lozy.
But yeah, I'm going with the Riptide. I think they're playing really well. They're scoring, which is obviously the name of the game, and they had struggled to do that, but now they're finding their shots. Give me the Riptide. We go to Saturday slate, Las Vegas at Albany. I don't think there's much for me to say out there. Our League Pass team is in the dumps right now. They're down on their laurels. So I got to go with the top team in the league and take Albany.
After last week, I don't trust the coaching staff of Vegas. Not the team. I don't trust the coaching staff. And that's where it starts. It starts at the top. That's why my team finally has a Learn to Meet merch link that you can find on Twitter. So you can go ahead and buy stuff. It took me 2 years to do that. But it starts at the top. My team is starting to become a team because I'm actually starting to become a coach. If Vegas's coaches aren't going to do their job, I can't expect the field players to do their job. I have to take the Albany Firewolves.
It was very hilarious when you were explaining all of that. I think your internet had lagged and you just sped up like crazy. So it was like you were on like 4x speed. There's a merch link available now, and you buy the merch now and support us. And then you're like, I have to take the Firewolves.
They're going to ban us one day. From knowing each other.
We move to the Pegula Bowl, the Rochester Nighthawks, the Buffalo Bandits, where we just found out that Josh Byrne has a half-brother.
Yesterday years old.
Literally.
Yesterday years old.
All of lacrosse Twitter.
They look just alike, too. It's not like...
Literally.
Not like they don't look alike. It's like some...
Like, they look different enough.
Me and you together, and we're like, look at these half-brothers. And people are like, nah, you're playing.
But they look different enough to where it's like, oh, they are half-brothers.
Like, you can tell that, like, okay, so wait, they got the same mom?
Some sort of this math ain't mathin'.
Well, now.
But now it's mathin'.
Josh Byrne is officially black.
Christ alive.
He's got half siblings on his dad's side.
Jesus fucking Christ. I went on the record. That, not me at all. DJ said that, not I.
Welcome to the crew, JB.
DJ statements do not reflect.
Ones I'm allowed to say. They do reflect. They reflect.
They don't reflect me.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Reflect. That was you.
They reflect LTB, though, because I'm a part of that, so it's allowed.
Wow. Yeah, that was quite outside the box by you.
Give me Buffalo.
I'll go in the same. I'm taking the Bandits. They're at home.
Oh my
Jesus
God.
Christ. Best color combo matchup of the weekend, Panther City and Saskatchewan. Arguably two of the best mascot logos to go side by side with each other. I'm going Panther City to get the dub, because until Saskatchewan proves that they can consistently win, I can't pick my league pass team of the year. Plus they've got a new guy riding the bench and they got to implement a new culture already. So give me Panther City, who is riding high after 21 goals.
I got to take Panther City as well. I think I've seen some things in Saskatchewan that are like troublesome. They're like every game for them, they're on the cusp of being good, but they're also like two minute things away from being bad. And those are teams like Vegas that I'm worried about. And it's not because they can't be good or they don't have the pieces, but because there's something like structurally missing, which is a much, much bigger issue. I mean, did they win? I don't even think they won when they had their throwbacks on. Like, and if you can look that good and have that many people out watching you and you can't win, we got a problem. Like, same thing with Vancouver, right? Like, we know what's going on with Vancouver and it's not as big of a deal because Kurt's, you know, doing everything he can to turn that program around, bringing in new players. There's an entire new establishment that's kind of being built there. But he's got a point. He's like, it's embarrassing to have the largest two crowds in years out to watch us play and we can't score. We can't win games. And Saskatchewan and Vegas are slowly reaching that same position where they're getting large people coming out saying they want to see us play. They want, you know, they want to see you win, want to see you do well. They're excited. They're into it. But you're not winning games. You're not being competitive. You're not giving them something to be excited about. It's going to become a problem soon. So hopefully Saskatchewan gets things on the track soon, but they're just in a position now where I can't rock with them just yet.
And we move back to Calgary as Tom Schreiber and the Toronto Rock take on your Calgary Roughnecks. You already teased it. You're taking Toronto. I'm taking Toronto because they are playing some hashtag good lacrosse right now. Final game of the weekend, Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, a good old-fashioned rivalry. The Loud House takes their talents to San Diego as the Mammoth take on the Seals. Deej, who you got in this one?
This game's in San Diego?
In San Diego. So a 3 Eastern local time start.
You know, Dylan Ward has had some trouble against some other teams, not San Diego. And they've had trouble getting the ball off of, you know, face off. I know they're going to be physical and they're going to play the transition game well. Colorado does, because they always do, especially against San Diego. I think this one will be closer than what people think. But I think San Diego still comes out with the win.
Seeing San Diego in person this past week, they're good. Like, don't get me wrong, they are talented. But the fact that they struggle to score more than like 12 goals in a game consistently is concerning to me. I don't know what that is. And I don't know, something about this game is just telling me Colorado, so I'm going to take Colorado to get the dub on the road against San Diego. So this is what our picks of the week in the NLL look like, our beer money picks of the week that The banner hasn't been up, but there it is. I've got Philly. DJ's got Halifax. We both have Georgia. I've got the Riptide. DJ has Calgary. We both have Albany. We both have Buffalo. And we both have Panther City. And we both have Toronto. And then I'm taking Colorado. And DJ is taking San Diego. And those are the NLL Week 10 Beer Money Picks of the Week, brought to you by our pals over at Kenwood Beer. Deej, let's shift gears. Some quick hitting stuff from the PLL Hot Stove. It's brought to you by Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. From sunglasses to blue light glasses to ski goggles to prescription lenses, Tomahawk Shades has you covered to protect those eyeballs with the best quality in the game for a fraction of the price of the big eyewear companies. I love my Tomahawk Shades. The sunglasses are elite. The blue light glasses have helped me sleep better. Because my eyes are less strained, and Deej is always wearing his sunglasses. And obviously, it's still winter time, but we are on the cusp, Deej. We have made it through the darkest days of the year.
Gang, gang.
We are that much closer to the spring, which means we're that much closer to the summer. But that doesn't mean you stop wearing your sunglasses. Protect your eyeballs when you're outside, when you're coaching, when you're shooting around with your friends. Tomahawk Shades will have you covered. Tomahawk Shades, also part owners, Kyle Harrison, Chris Hogan, ever heard of them? Go to TomahawkShades.com or download the Tomahawk Shades app in the App Store or Google Play. And when you go to checkout, use code USP for 25% off your order at TomahawkShades.com or in the Tomahawk Shades app. That's code USP for 25% off your order at TomahawkShades.com or in the Tomahawk Shades app. Deej, the PLL Hot Stove, two-time champion of the world, and future doctor curing the world in ways that not many would be able to. Ty Warner hangs up the cleats.
It was out of nowhere, too. That one surprised me. Like, I guess I shouldn't say surprised.
It did, but it didn't.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those, like, oh, he's retiring, but like I get why he's retiring. Like, he called himself an old guy multiple times last year. Like, he had, you know, the speed and everything to be there. He was ready, he's good to go. He was a helpful piece to the Whip Stakes in the games that they did win and even in the games they lost. But that doesn't mean he isn't losing his touch. He's not becoming one of the old guys. And I mean, as much as we love playing sports, there's something about helping people that just does something for your spirit, for your body, for your well-being. And he wants to be basically the pinnacle of all pinnacles of helping people. He's going to go be a doctor. It arguably doesn't get more self-fulfilling. I shouldn't say self-fulfilling, but it doesn't get more fulfilling than a doctor and saving someone's life or completely changing their outlook on something or helping someone walk again that wasn't supposed to. Like, it doesn't get more fulfilling than that. It doesn't get more helping than that. I mean, I get my piece of helping and coaching and watching kids love the game of lacrosse and helping them get better and helping them find, you know, maybe it's friendship or love or something inside the game. There's so many different reasons why people play. He's gotten that piece out of lacrosse already. He's going to do it in another realm. So it's like one of those things where it's like when he went back to school to get his PhD, everybody's like, okay, it's coming at some point. Dude's going to hang up his cleats and stick and, you know, move on from the game. I guess I just didn't expect it to be, you know, 2 years after he put the cleats back on. Thought it was going to be a little bit of time, but also you look at the guys that are coming in, guys sitting in the player pool, guys, you know, that just haven't even gotten a shot yet, guys that are in college that aren't even, you know, they're freshmen, sophomores, juniors. He knows those guys are coming. He knows it's going to be harder for him to compete for a spot. He knows it's going to be harder for him to fly out all the time, take a weekend off. He just wants to go and be a doctor, and I'm not upset about it. I'm just excited. I got to watch him play at both the college and high, or the college and pro levels, and win championships and be another one of those black lacrosse figures that I can look up to, that I can point my younger black lacrosse players to look forward to and be like, look, sure, I'm just your coach and I only played D3 high school or D3 college lacrosse, but this guy played D1. This guy played D1. These guys are playing pro. And he was one of those guys I could point out and be like, look, if there's anybody you need to be like, it's Ty Warner. He's humble. He goes out. He works hard. He knows the game. Works on his stick skills all the time. But he also is just a great person at heart that wants to see everyone around him doing well and living well.
And I mean, one of the things that I will have the utmost respect for Ty Warner, even on, you know, on top of everything that you just laid out and on top of everything that the likes of Jim Stagnita has laid out, his former teammates, all that good stuff. The fact that Ty Warner dove into medical school during the pandemic, went to the bubble, played in the bubble while going to medical school, just shows you the insane work ethic that he has as a human being. And it's something that I've admired about him since I learned that news back in 2020, that like he was going to medical school while playing in the PLL bubble during a global pandemic. He's gritty. He's as tough as they come. A two-time champion at the college level, you know, with the Ivy League championships. And, you know, quote from Stags here that just tells you how much grit Tyler Warner has. His ability to compete over these last couple of years while being in medical school and playing through some injuries that might have kept other people out just tells you about what kind of competitor and teammate and person Ty is. That says it all. You know, he's battling through injuries. He's like, I can't even fathom the amount of work that goes into going to medical school, let alone doing that while playing a professional sport at the same time. Ty's a dog, and couldn't be happier for him. And I know he's going to do unbelievable things in his next chapter as a doctor when he finishes medical school. And I'm excited to see, you know, how that shakes out for him and what he ends up doing in the medical field. And he's as smart as they come too. You know, he's one of the smartest people I've ever gotten a chance to talk to. And, you know, when you need a break from med school and you need to talk a little ball, Ty, come on the show.
You know where to find me. My social pages are open. We can link up. Nothing crazy. I would love to have Ty on the show, to be honest. Like, he'd be a great third mic.
I'd love to have him just as a guest to pick that gigantic brain of his.
Gigantic is a great word. That is definitely the one to use.
That brain is massive. So, congrats to Ty Warner on one hell of a career. Two-time champion of the world. Calls it a career and is headed back full send to medical school. Some other news from the PLL Hot Stove. We had the helmets for Champ Series revealed. And Deej, I gotta say, back in 2019, we kind of broke the news that the Redwoods would be wearing yellow helmets at some point. Way back when. When RJ was doing that little studio show that they had for just 1 year, there was a yellow Redwoods helmet on the table. And we tweeted it, to which RJ then asked if we would delete it. Because that helmet wasn't supposed to be there. Well, guess what? It's back, because the Redwoods will be wearing yellow helmets for the championship series, which has me super excited to see what these jerseys are going to look like for them. The Water Dogs have black helmets, which is going to be absolutely gorgeous. I can't wait. I think all four of the helmets look fantastic for the Championship Series teams. And it just gets me more and more excited knowing that more than likely, and this is all assumption and guessing, that these four jerseys are going to be the first four jerseys we see in this era of the PLL that include a home city's name somewhere on these jerseys.
I mean, we did see a lot of home city stuff coming on the helmets. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that. I'm actually kind of excited. I wonder what the design will be this year. I really like the design we saw last year from the squads. With kind of that diagonal slash thing going through. But I don't really have anything other than I absolutely love the yellow. Like, everybody else, I thought it would look something similar to that. Like, we've kind of gotten the same kind of things from them, because there's only so much you can do, I guess. And the Woods just kind of hadn't touched into that yellow sphere yet. So to see that is exciting. Maybe we see them work with the yellow more often. And I think that's kind of where everybody's head is going with this, is a yellow helmet possibly means more yellow gear connected to the Redwoods in the future, which I think a lot of people want to see. But everything else I thought was they all look really good. I don't want to like downplay any of them. Obviously, I like the Redwoods one the most, but that doesn't mean that any of the other three are bad. I thought the Cannons was like, I was like, did they change anything other than like the back script? Like it's gray. It's got the Cannons on the side. Like they just wearing their field helmets, huh? Like nothing special for the guys. But I mean, the Archers one was sick. I liked the use of Utah and then having the state there instead of like Archers or something. I just wish the back would have said bows up. I think that would have been sick. If it said bows up, right? I think it says archers on the back, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, archers.
Yeah, if it would have said bows up there, I think that would have been like that slight like Utah or archers touch that it kind of needed. But other than that, it was great. And then, like you mentioned, the black with the purple Billy on the back, like, That's a brotherly love helmet if I've seen one.
Is that black helmet, from your assumption, because Dom and I were talking about this on the main pod a little bit, it looks like it's going to be a black chrome, which...
Let me take another look.
Has me... You can't... It's tough to tell because it is like a graphic of it and not exactly like the actual helmet, but the way that the dog logo is like shining, it kind of gives me a vibe that it's going to be like a black chrome look to it. Which, like, I'll be foaming at the mouth with how awesome that would look. Because it would be different than all the other teams, where obviously that gray for the Cannons looks completely matte. Redwoods, I'm not sure what that could be. Could be like a glossy touch on it. Utah looks like it's going to be a little matte, with just the accents from the blue on there. But a black chrome lid would be sick for the Water Dogs.
I'm trying to see. Oh, can you send me that? That's what you're looking at. Because I remember looking at them in the app yesterday.
Because, like, the way that the dog logo is presented, like, you can kind of see, like, the bevel go down, which gives me that shiny and glossy look for the decal itself.
This happened to me yesterday, too. I, like, tried to watch it, and it went, like, black screen.
I texted you the Water Dogs one.
What the fuck? Okay, I'm going to look at this video. Because the video might also be able to give me kind of a look at it. Because, like, the gray is matte. We know that for sure.
Yes.
I think the yellow is going to shine.
I think so too. Which makes sense for a lighter color to.
Yeah. I think the only team, I think they will all be chrome other than Cannons. I think Cannons is going to be matte.
I think the Archers could be matte as well. Just because of the way the blue is on there, but either way.
I think if it was blue, it would be matte. But I think because it's orange, they're going to go glossy. I'm almost positive the yellow will be glossy.
I need that black chrome on that thing. And we'll make our championship series winner prediction.
But it'll look really good on it'll look really good in matte too.
I'm excited for the jersey reveal, and best believe I'll be copping those bad boys. But other than that, not too much from the PLL this week. Other than the app is fully revamped, and Deej, Portal Jones, college lacrosse is back.
I literally couldn't be happier. The only thing that could make me happier about college lacrosse being back is if Josh Zawada somehow got into his Michigan program so he could stay at Michigan. But,
well, did you see Kevin Boiler's tweet?
No, I didn't.
He said Josh Zawada should have to report as an eligible receiver with that number. He's wearing number 79 at Duke.
Yeah, I know.
He got that O line number, bro.
I think it's because somebody already has 9.
He's about to go out there blocking.
He should have put on double 9s.
Facts.
It's too late now, though. I don't care.
79.
He's going to cook. And if Coach Donowski was doing this right, even though he can't really do it wrong, just throw that out there. I would be running BO. I would leave BO on the field. But I would sub on an attackman and have BO run offense through the mid.
79's a bad jersey analytics number, though, right?
No, I don't care.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
To me, when it comes to jersey analytics, when it comes to just analytics around the dressing in the game, whatever you look good in, dog, wear that. And if you think you look good in 79 and that's your number, do that. I don't care. Zawada thinks 79 is the number for him. Cool. And I'm only cheering for him because he's Zawada. Duke can go duking. Zawada's my dog. We're going to rock with him. And same thing with Michael Bame. As much as I would love for him to still be in a maize and blue uniform, the only reason I'm still cheering for him is because he happened to be going to the only school that I still kind of mess with in terms of rivalry. And that's the University of Notre Dame.
Bro, why'd you sound like the dude from Despicable Me? Coincidence? I think not.
So I like Michael Bame. I can get down with the Irish lacrosse team. That's the only part of Notre Dame that I do like. So I'm excited to see my Michigan guys do well in other places. Excited to see Michigan got, first off, they were given 6 on the people rankings.
From TLN, yes.
Shout right behind you. Penn State and John Hopkins, but right above Maryland. Like, yes. Give it to me. I'm here for it.
Deej went full. I think I got my swagger back.
I do. and then, I mean, the pre-rankings on the year gave them like 11 or 12 or whatever. Like, people are expecting them to be good. I think they're going to be good. And the Big Ten may be the best college lacrosse conference. Like, 5 of our 6 are ranked. The only conference that's doing better us in terms of percentage and ranking is the ACC, which has all 5 of their teams ranked, but we got the same number of teams ranked. And all Ohio State has to do is win a couple of games to start the season. They'll probably be ranked too. Wouldn't be surprised a national champion comes from the Big Ten, but 9 times out of 10, it'll probably come from the ACC because it'll probably be Duke or Notre Dame. I truly expect there to be a national championship rematch and wouldn't be surprised if championship weekend looks exactly like it did a year before. Penn State, Virginia, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Notre Dame, Duke. If those are the 4, wouldn't be the slightest bit surprised. But also would love to see a Big Ten team sneak in there. Some of these smaller schools, Richmond, the High Points, Delaware, those kind of schools, they're always going to get their wins early in the season, always going to be exciting. But their tournaments, if you're not watching the CAA and like Big East, those kind of tournaments, you're missing out on some good lacrosse. SoCon, like those tournaments are some of the best ones you get because those guys are fighting for a spot in the national championship. They know that their season record during the year doesn't have enough big wins to get them an at-large bid. They need to win that conference tournament. So you're seeing guys go balls to the walls more than 100% for 60 straight minutes. And that's what you need to be tuned into. So if you're not watching SoCon, Big East, and that Patriot League or conference tournament lacrosse, you are doing it wrong. There's going to be tons of good lacrosse to watch. We're getting into that territory where we got lacrosse on 3, 4, 5 days out of the week. This is the best time of the year. Be excited for it.
I'm speaking for the unbiased Josh Sawada people. Brother, I got to sit you down and say 79 is not a good look. Secondly,
I don't care.
That's why I'm speaking for the non-biased fans. 79. You look like you're about to report like the Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell's about to have you running a route out there. But the PLL app, not a sponsor, but we love the PLL app. And our boys over at TLN have a college pick'em in the app this year. And it won't be, it's not like we're going to be putting graphics out for this like we do for NLL and PLL. But the big games of the week, they're going to be highlighting them. So we'll highlight them on this show and we'll just do the pick'em tracker in the app and see how we fare with the games of the week in here. But Deej, the highlighted games this week in the PLL app via TLN's College Pick'em is number 17, Denver versus number 4, Johns Hopkins. That takes place on February 3rd. We have number 19, Utah against Ohio State. Number 10, Georgetown against Loyola. Number 7, Maryland against Richmond. And Vermont against number 9, Syracuse. Those are the games featured in the app. How are you feeling about those games? Is there any upsets boiling for you?
I did happen to already make my picks.
So did I.
For this section. Denver John Hop is a great way to open up the season, by the way. So I'm super excited for that on Saturday. I may be working a basketball tournament, but I promise you I'm going to find a way to sneak home and get like some food or something and watch some part of some of these games and do other things I like to do when I'm hanging out by myself.
As soon as you said find a way, I just immediately heard the Drake and Josh theme song in my head.
I miss Drake and Josh. But I do have one upset brewing early in the year. I got O State over Utah.
Utah, look at us. Good. We're on the same page.
It hurts me to say that O-State's going to be good, and it hurts me to pick them to win stuff, but they have a good lacrosse team. They're playing in that new stadium. They got vibes. And Utah has always been pretty good, especially for out west, and they've been continuing to grow their program and move in a great direction. But I like O-State this year and some of the pieces that they have. I don't know if they're going to beat Michigan. It's been a little minute. Michigan's beat them the last like 4 or 5 in a row. So they might want to pump their brakes on beating Big Blue. But I really like what they have this year. I think Maryland absolutely swamps Richmond. But as many of us are picking Syracuse, because it's 97.2% of people picking Syracuse, I think we're all right. But I think that game is going to have some people on their heels.
My boy Joey Spallina about to put on a movie.
Biting their fingernails because Vermont is never a team that backs down from anyone. They always find those sneaky good guys that everybody else kind of passed on.
Vermont's his name's gonna come Ian in McKay. Give him a
fight. Right. Guys are going to come in and give them a fight. I know this 2.8% is like Ian and two other guys. And if they win, Ian, Beer on me.
It's Ian, Jake Bernhardt.
Hey, you're right. There's like three guys, but like I love the support and the confidence they have in their alma mater. Like that's how it should be. And I'm the same way. My alma mater hasn't beat Albion College or Hope College in years. And you couldn't tell me that they're not going to beat them this year or that they're not going to beat them every year.
I'm saying I took Syracuse not only because they're a top-ranked team, top 10. Like, it's tough to pick early on in the season an upset like that. But the fact that without any actual knowledge, I am just – this is all based on assumption because they follow us. I'm like 90% sure that Joey Spallina and Joey Spallina's dad listen to the pod. So I got to support loyal listeners of the show.
Oh. Love you, Spallina.
I would love, I know you're not an Ohio State guy because you're a Michigan guy, but I got to propose. I think it would be very fun. This is so disrespectful to what I'm about to say. I think it would be very fun to have head coach Nick Myers on the show this year.
Okay.
He seems like an ultimate like vibes guy and would mesh well with like what we do. And he seems like he'd be very fun to talk to and just have an Ohio State head coach on with your Michigan fandom ass would be electric content.
I'm holding this stuff the whole time. And I'm going to have some Michigan on by then. I promise you.
My assumption would have been just your response to everything he said would have just been bet.
Either that or I mean, yeah, I'll probably do that. And you already know on the way out I'm a beast. So how does it feel losing Michigan over and over? Y'all gonna beat Michigan this year?
And just like that, Nick Myers refuses to come on the Outside the Box podcast.
No, but Nick, if you come on, I'll promise to keep it nice and refrain from as many Michigan jokes and questions as I can. And can you do something for me for the Michigan game this year? I'm
21.
I'm thinking about making the 4-hour drive down to Columbus again, like I did this summer. So, yeah, if you can.
And as an unbiased fan, Ohio State Stadium is gorgeous.
Even as a biased fan.
Right.
I liked the stadium.
It was beautiful.
It's in a beautiful spot on campus to where people can see things when they're driving by, walking by. All of the facilities are closed.
Stadium is a part of our history.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful stadium. I liked it. The only thing that's bad about it is that ugly Scarlet O in the middle and all of that stuff. But everything else about it is great. So
big
I like
fan
the
of the stadium.
If you can hook me up with a suite or free food, whatever you can hook me up with for my trip down to Columbus, let me know. I'm all for it, my guy.
Get you credentials.
I would love that.
But yeah, I think that is going to be one of our things this college season is getting college coaches on the show and just building our brand up even more with the college game. And if college players are available, obviously Joey Spallina has open mic to come on this show whenever. He's one of the first college players to ever follow us. So he's obviously got first dibs whenever he wants. DJ, if you had top three college players from anywhere to come on the show this year, who would your wish list be?
Spallina. Obviously, he's like white whale at this point for college because of how big he is. I think the Cav brothers count as two or as one. So we can bring the both of them on because they're just exciting to talk to in all retrospects. Also really humble guys and just love the game of lacrosse. And the third one, got to put on for the boys. D3 Pride. Give me the hero, Connor Eck.
That's a given. That boy will be on this show in no time.
Gotta have the boy in the top.
Shout out to the boy.
Can't wait for him to get here. But other than that, it'd probably be B.O. Honestly, just to like pick his brain about playing in the Worlds and then being in college, going back to college after the Worlds, What does he think about PLL? Does he plan on playing both NLL and PLL? You know, where does he hope he goes in the PLL? Does he want to play attack, midfield? Does it matter? And just kind of pick his brain about where his next is for lacrosse.
I'm throwing Russell Melendez on that list. All name team, all vibes team. 100% somebody that is part of the KB Legion. So Russell Melendez, 100% on my wish list to have on the show this year. Looking, obviously, Joey Spallina, like I said. And then I want to make sure.
Oh, I almost forgot about Bobby Van Buren. Ain't no way I couldn't put BBB on here. Bobby, that guy. As much as I don't like Ohio State, Bobby's that guy.
I want to make sure.
And I guess Ajax Zapatello. Bring him on, talk about his name, and make a bunch of soap jokes. Like, boy, you look like the grapefruit bottle of Ajax soap. Look at you, bubbly like a bottle of Ajax. All right, let me.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that he was still there. Levi Anderson, that's at St. Okay. Joe's. Because mm-hmm. Obviously he was drafted by Chaos, but going back for his grad year, and would love to have some Philly crossover there as well. I'm looking at St. Joe's roster, bro. They've got some hilarious names on this.
I wouldn't mind Mustang Sally popping on either.
Oh, well, yeah, that's 100%. That has to happen. That's somebody that we have had an eye on for ever. He's probably the second college player we ever talked about on the show, Dom and I, behind Asher Nolting.
We miss Asher.
St. Joe's has a face-off specialist from Washington Township, so literally 30 minutes away from me is his hometown. He's a sophomore. Ready for this name? Maybe. Giuseppe Morici.
Oh, that's fire. Giuseppe.
Giuseppe at the stripe? Good grief. That's a wrap.
I go hard like Giuseppe.
Clamps playing. Like Giuseppe.
Quit playing, bro. Stop playing with me.
Yo, I got the clamps like Giuseppe.
Stop playing.
That's crazy. So yeah, do we have the same picks this week? I've got Johns Hopkins, Ohio State, Georgetown, Maryland, and Syracuse.
Give me just a second. Just a second. I had Hopkins, Ohio State, Georgetown, Maryland, Syracuse. So I think we, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprised.
Look at that. We're on the same page. If you or someone you know is a college lacrosse player, let them know about the pod. Let them know that we have the open invite policy for any college player that wants to come on, get these takes off, get the vibes going, and they're more than welcome on the show. But that's all we got for you guys this week. Make sure you're following us on the socials at OTB LaxPod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI. Follow Deej at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Goes a long way for helping us continue to grow this show. Lets us do more dope stuff with and for you guys. Be sure to subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel as well, so you get full video episodes of this show. Clips, shorts, live streams. It's all on the YouTube channel. We're at 732 subscribers right now. Trying to get to 800 sooner rather than later. Let's make that happen. YouTube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. Plus, this college season, Deej has committed to doing quick hit videos on the big things from college lacrosse with Portal Jones. So Stay tuned for those on the socials.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be like DJ's like biggest takeaways, and kind of like his top whatever amount of teams he wants to put in his top listing. We have some sort of breaking news.
Yeah, I'll tell you in a second.
Get your merch, phiapparel.co, code underground for 10% off your orders. And this has been episode number 308 of Underground Sports Philadelphia's official lacrosse podcast, the award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA ranked, and of course viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box Podcast. Enjoy this weekend of NLL and college lacrosse action. We'll be back next week as we are that much closer to Champ Series with Commissioner Brett Frued. But until then, we're getting the heck up out of here. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.
And that's Outside the Box.